Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
So, as you were just hearing there, and also as we watched last night, the Bucks beat the Nets again. The Nets have lost three in a row. It ties a season high for their losing streak for a season. But they losing the back-to-back games to the Bucks in Milwaukee in those mini series that we've had in a season like this. Kyrie and KD did play.
Can I interject just for 1 second, Al?
You may.
You imagine what the storyline would be like if KD and Kyrie played for the New York Knicks and they lost three games in a row? Do you imagine how big it would be in New York?
Yeah.
Instead of for Brooklyn, that goes back to what your point about why they went to Brooklyn.
Yeah, it would be that story of how, whether they rely way too much on Harden and you don't know if he's going to be healthy and this might be all for naught. And yeah, it would be negativity because that's always the place we go to first.
And that's why I said last week when we had the conversation, or maybe it was earlier in the week, I don't remember. We do so many
why they went
shows,
to Brooklyn.
That's kind of why, you know, some people don't want certain things, and not necessarily saying that they didn't want to be right in the center of Manhattan opposed to being in Brooklyn. It's just two different things. You know, it's like L.A. Clippers, L.A. Lakers.
Yeah.
You go to the Clippers, it's like, okay, cool. Whatever you win, great. You lose.
Is it covered the same? The L.A. Times still, like, with the same intensity about the Clippers? Because here in New York, the tabloids do not cover the teams the same way.
Well, it's not with L.A. Times. It's more the city. It's social media. Mm-hmm. It's the Times. Mm-hmm. It's the radio. It's the shows.
Radio
on television.
Doesn't. Local radio, they don't cover the Nets. No, they barely talk about the Nets.
All the local stuff in L.A. cover the Lakers. They don't really talk about the Clippers.
Yeah.
So if you want that heat, you go to the Lakers. If you don't really – you want to kind of just hide a little bit,
Kawhi Leonard,
you go to the Clippers.
What do you make of – so the New Yorker, the cover of the New Yorker, which always has the outstanding artwork, has the three – sorry.
Keith said, I've been on there.
Oh, you have?
I'm messing with Jay, man. So you know me. I got an arrogant side to me. I'm very
so
arrogant.
It has – so the illustration
– very pompous.
It's the big three from Brooklyn, and then it's RJ and RJ Barrett and Julius Randle in the background. Like very small in the background. And James Harden retweeted it, but
he
cropped out the two Knick players, and it's just the three Net players. What do you make of that, Jay?
He's just messing with him.
Well, I mean, are we just telling the truth about it? I mean,
I want you to tell me what you think.
It's right. I mean, both are right, right?
What does that mean? What do you mean it's right?
Well, the Knicks, as it relates to talent and championship aspirations for where they are this year,
are not in the picture, far ahead of
the New York Knicks. So the Knicks are behind them, even though the Knicks are New York City's team and they're coming on the way up. And then for James Harden, I mean, let's be honest, it's James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. They will be featured anywhere they go in the world more so than RJ Barrett and Julius Randle.
And correct me, and you would know, I don't know off the top of my head.
You're not wrong.
You got how many, not that it really matters in the grand scheme of things, but you got three All-Stars.
All-Stars.
To zero superstar. All-Stars,
well, Julius Randle.
Well, no, one All-Star.
Julius Randle, yeah, he made it.
But when you talk about superstars, see, that's where I get what he's saying. What James Harden's saying by doing that, see, people think, oh, he's trying to start a rivalry. I don't think he's even thinking of it as a rivalry. I think he's doing this. They can't see us. Like,
or why would y'all even have me on the same cover with these dudes?
Exactly.
But that's how you, man. Man.
And it's not a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry.
It's not a
rivalry.
Let's calm down with that.
I can't stand when people
try to do that. It's not a rivalry yet.
Yeah. Well, y'all tried to do it with the Padres and the Dodgers in baseball.
Get him, Key.
So now.
Get him.
Okay.
See how I look at you?
Yeah. You did this thing with your head,
too. I did do it the other day, Alan.
But do the Knicks have the same star power that the Padres have? No. No, no, no. Let me wrong. They don't.
No, they don't.
They don't have the Tatis.
But it's not a rivalry. It's just not. Even Milwaukee in Brooklyn is not a rivalry, even though they beat them, what did you say, two out of the last three?
It was just two in a row here.
It's not even – you can't manufacture – fakeness. That's not real.
So how do you make it a rivalry? What has to happen?
There has to be some, like...
Well, it has to... Here's how it is.
Lakers-Clippers? Is that a rivalry?
They got to see... No, man.
Exactly. No, why? No.
Because they need to see each other...
When it matters.
When it matters the most, and who's dominating when it matters the most. Like the Cleveland... And you, come on, man, talk to
me. I'm with you.
The Cleveland Golden State thing with LeBron...
Rivalry.
...had started to turn into that. Because they have to start seeing each other.
A lot, yeah.
And then
yeah,
you get the Christmas games. Day game. And you get this. Like, this year, is Brooklyn going to play the Knicks on Christmas Day at 3 o'clock? Is that going to, or are they going to send Brooklyn to Philly? Or send Milwaukee to Brooklyn?
I'll tell you what.
I feel like Brooklyn and Philly have a chance.
That's the game you'll play.
To have a rivalry, yes.
Yes, and especially in the playoffs, because they'll be a bit of nasty from Philly because they're going to have to bring that nasty just to beat this team. Like, all right, so we don't have James Harden against the Bucks. Giannis even said these games don't matter. He's right. But eventually they're going to matter. And what's going to matter is getting James Harden healthy and getting him on the floor. And then it's going to be, how the hell do you beat this team?
See, even if they don't have James Harden, I'm sorry to say it, and y'all can correct me. If they got that dude, that long, skinny dude that pulls
Slim Reaper
from over here on his hip and pulls in the middle, that skinny dude named KD, and they got the dude with the natural and the full beard, and come playoff time, the energy is different.
The dude with the natural and the full beard, that Joe Harris?
No, that's the Kyrie Irving, the Duke guy.
Joe
New
Harris
Jersey
also
guy.
Has
Jersey
the natural
guy.
And the
Jersey
full beard
guy.
Too.
Baby the Duke guy. Follow Jay Will for the check. Never mind.
Oh, well.
And who's back? Here's a question.
It wasn't even denial. It was just like,
you know, I don't care. Hey, look, Jay, I don't care. Whose bag was bigger? College basketball. That is fine.
Oh, my God. So true. But still.
I was going to say, sorry, I'm about to cry. But here's the thing that's interesting about it. You know, it's not a big deal. Like, it's not like a big thing in New York media that the Nets lost two games in a row to a team that has dominated the regular season but has paled out, you know, in the playoffs.
No, like but not, it would be the sky is falling if they were in blue and orange.
Because, by the way, what teams have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the same team? Like, we're talking about two elite of the elite superstars.
There's only probably four in the NBA that have
Name the teams that have the
Lakers,
equivalent
Clippers,
star.
Lakers, Clippers. And I know you say,
and
I know you say
I'm not
Clay
putting
is hurt. I know you say Clay is hurt and he didn't play this year, but I would put Golden State
technically
in there.
Technically
in there.
Okay.
And by the way, Paul George is coming off a horrendous year last year. You know, he's been playing well. So, like, I still think it's out. Like, Kyrie and KD have both won NBA championships.
Yeah.
Clay and Steph, NBA championships. LeBron and AD, NBA championships. Like, Kawhi and PG.
Not yet.
Kawhi championships, PG no championships yet. So it's a different threshold.
But you still got to worry about him.
You hear what I'm saying? Championships.
Kenny Smith one time said something that I thought was like brilliantly put. Like, the night before you play that team, you can't sleep.
Yes.
That's when you know you're playing somebody legit.
The red dot guy in football.
Yeah.
If I tell people all the time, Alan, when we were in meetings. If the red dot was on the guy, which is the laser pin,
the
coach
sit
back,
right.
The pointer, we got something to worry about. If we wasn't pointing you out and you were not in our scouting report like that, miss me. Don't even have that conversation with me about some dude. Like, oh, man, he's good. Like, man, we didn't worry about that
we didn't
dude.
Even talk about him.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. And that's why there's very few teams that have even just two. And the Nets, when they are healthy, you expect he's going to be healthy, right? Like, is he in bubble wrap right now, Jay? What do you know? Is he in bubble wrap or
what do you know? That was two different questions. You hear that, Key?
Well, because you always know stuff.
You're dialed in.
Yeah.
You're like Junior Woj.
But darker. I would feel that James Harden is probably in the same kind of bind that LeBron James is in. Like, I think the hamstring
might
is a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
He had some hamstring issues throughout his time in Houston, too. I mean, I think you won't see him back into the playoffs.
Caution, right?
Caution.
Yeah. They're what, 2-seed right now?
Well, that's
why
I said bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about playing in the 7-10.
And then depending who comes out on that, I mean, right now, if you were to do it to true seedings, they would go against the Boston Celtics, which I would.
And I think a lot of
Jason Tatum and Jalen, that would be a series now.
I think in this situation, the great thing, and a lot of people probably, they'll be touching on it, I'm sure, after I say this, they'll be talking about it, is the Steve Nash coaching factor and having veteran coaches to be able to handle this situation where your star players are on the sideline and you've got to navigate to try to figure
out
game planning. That's why people like Mike D'Antoni,
yes,
along with Jacques Vaughn, that's important to have guys that have been in that sort of situation before on your staff.
There's a lot of stake here, Key, about the staff, though. We talk a lot about, you know, can KD do it on his own, go someplace? Now KD's with James Harden and Kyrie. Can Kyrie do it without LeBron James, even though he made a clutch game-winning shot in Game 7 of the NBA Finals to get them a championship? James Harden has never got one in Houston. But coaching staff, too. I mean, Steve Nash has never coached. And Mike D'Antoni, he's never won the whole thing either.
Yeah, but Mike D'Antoni ain't never had – three of these dudes.
That's what I'm saying.
Team,
it's though. Even more pressure, though. Mike D'Antoni has had two dudes in CP3, a point guard, and James Harden has been up 3-1 in the series before, though. But there's a lot of pressure on the coaching staff, too, now.
But what I would say is the fact that Mike D'Antoni, it was so interesting because I was watching the game the other day, and I was like, well, who's the damn coach? He's screaming and yelling and doing the whole, you know, Steve Nash is just sitting there like this. So I'm like, okay, I see what this is. But with that being said, you fail at other spots as a head coach, maybe as an assistant and not necessarily being in charge, you see things at times a little bit different. So now you're able to give the proper pointers to the head coach to display or to relay that to your players. So maybe that factors into them making a strong run when playoff time comes.
Yeah, Nash is there for relationships, of course, and his experience as a player, of course, but he does now have to figure out what does he have once he is at full health, because he's only had those three on the court together for all of seven games. And last night after the loss to the Bucks, he did talk about how this late into the season, he has still got things to figure out.
We've got a gap to make up here. So we understand that's a team that's been running the same offense, been playing together, same schemes on defense for years now, gone deep into the playoffs, and that's something that we don't have. So how can we make up that gap? And that's kind of our you know, our life in a nutshell heading home here is, you know, we're trying to get everyone back to full health, and we're going to try to overcome a lack of common experiences. And, you know, that is our challenge as much as anything. So while we do that, can we be more physical? Can we be more connected? Can we handle and control some of the controllables that can help us hang in some of these games and win some of these games while we're trying to put the pieces together?
I mean, he hasn't seen it either, even on the court. I mean, this is not its time of year you get a lot of practice in. Now, they will have a week from the end of the regular season to the game one of the first round of the playoffs. That could be a mini camp situation that if Harden is available, there's your chance now to see what you got. But I do think, or you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think actually this has allowed them to play a lot of their supporting cast and let some of those guys emerge to a point where they now all don't know their roles.
But the Nets will not be afforded the luxury that other teams have, right? Because of the star power that's up top and expectations that regardless of whether guys play seven games or not, you're still expecting if James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie on the floor together, they better win a damn championship, right?
Or at least get there.
Or get really, really close. But we both know, Key.
Not really close. Get there.
Get there.
Got to get
but
there.
But we all know, because you played sports too, Alan. Like,
I did.
Key, don't care.
No, I'm saying he did. I did play sports. Yeah, he played.
Familiarity counts so much. Like, knowing the players that you play with. Mm-hmm. And these guys haven't had that. That's a huge talking topic that you won't have a lot of talking heads talk about. But since we know the nuances of sport, like I have to know where Key's gonna be. I have to have reps at where. Think about how this show. I mean, we have reps doing things together. I feel like I know what Key's gonna say. Or
Malcolm
he knows what
Gladwell,
I'm gonna say.
10,000 hours.
There's something about that when you don't have that on the court that goes against you in a big time way. I don't give a damn who you are, three superstars or not. Like you have to have a feel for what guys can do.
But can they use the? I guess you would call it a bye week. Can they use the bye week to kind of get into a rhythm.
Mini camp.
Into a rhythm to understand certain body languages and sets and things of that nature, along with whatever training they've done in the offseason, and then use week one of the playoffs for them, the first round, as sort of an extended training camp where they can kind of get in the rhythm and in sync before they really start to hit the big boys.
Yes, they can. The one thing that I will say is working to their advantage is that all three of these guys hooped together for a pretty extended period of time this summer.
And the important part
that's where it popped off.
Kyrie already allowed the establishment of, James, it's your ball. I'm playing off the ball. Like, that was important to establish, and they already took care of that early on. All right, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin.
Yep, that would be me.
Brought to you by Nature Valley. Oh, that's
old government name again.
Part crunchy, part creamy, a bit sweet, a bit salty. Nature Valley sweet and salty peanut bars bursting with crunchy peanuts dipped in creamy nut butter coating and 100% delicious. Nature Valley, We are better outside.
From New York to L.A. and everywhere in between, from A to Z.
I just put that together. That's
you
right.
You did? Amelia, Amelia to Zane.
To Zane.
Yeah, my kids' names.
I like that. A to Z, baby. So now if you have your next child, will have to be like...
Nope, that's it. Nope. See how you're trying to give me one more key? Why is it that we do this?
Because once you have two, you're
young,
free.
What's the difference? Yeah, don't, please, don't
you
jump
you
on this.
You go M, is you go right in the middle of the alphabet?
No, it's like when you have he a girlfriend. Like, when you guys get engaged? When's the marriage after that? No, then it's like, oh, when you guys having kids? What? Stop.
Where do you get caged? None of your damn business. Stay out of mine, man.
Thank you.
Well, how about this business in the NHL, guys? So the Rangers have called for the removal of George Parros. Now, he's the head of the NHL Department of Player Safety, which is an ironic name if you consider this. The league did not suspend Tom Wilson for a couple of incidents in Monday's game between the Capitals and the Rangers. Wilson plays for the Capitals. He's notorious, by the way, for a lot of dirty hits. He's been suspended before, fined before. In this case, he punched Pavel Buchnevich while he was down on the ice. Then he took Artemi Panarin, who jumped on him to try to break up the fight, and body slammed him onto the ice, onto his head without a helmet on Panarin's head. Ooh. So Wilson was fined $5,000. That's it. $5,000.
So that's not a lot in hockey.
It's not a lot in anything. Now he was, and the fine was just for punching Buchnevich. That's basically it. Now, Emily Kaplan, who covers the NHL for us at ESPN, was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. She explained why... Well, at least what the front office told her about why Wilson was not suspended at all for this incident.
The fall with Buchnevich, that was nothing really there. When he was on the ground punching Buchnevich, that's what earned the fine. But after that, they viewed the melee as just wrestling, something that happens in hockey every night. And the weird kind of part about it is the way the NHL treats discipline is first they see if it's a suspendable play, and then after that, they look at someone's prior history to determine the length of the suspension. And obviously, Tom Wilson has a lengthy history. So a lot of fans hear all that information and say, huh? What? Yeah. Why are they still enabling him? And that's what led the Rangers to come out as strong as they did.
Yeah, bravo, by the way, Emily. And the Rangers then put out a statement, which you never see a team do, calling for the firing of George Parros, saying he's unfit to do the job, furious that nothing will be done.
Well, you remember yesterday when we were showing the clip, and I said, well, it looked like they slipped together. You know, it looked like...
Well, he lifted him up and he...
But it looked like that they were wrestling and fell together, so... To me, my eyes, that's what it told me, but I don't understand the fighting in hockey. I just don't. I mean, they let them.
There really isn't anymore. Like, you'll still have incidents, but you don't have
man,
the
you're
level
not gonna
of fighting
hit me.
Like you used to.
I don't give a damn what sport we playing. You're not just getting ready to punch me while I'm on the ground.
That's always been part of
the
sport.
Oh, man, uh-uh.
Well, so on the ground is a different story. One of the unwritten rules of that sport is if a guy is on the you don't punch anyone once they're down on the ice. It's different if we're face-to-face and we both are ready to fight. That's what happens in that sport. But once you're down, no. The code is you stop throwing punches.
So how you say his name? Buchnevich?
Buchnevich.
Buchnevich should be looking for Wilson every single day of the week, no matter where it's at.
Well, I think it makes it hard about Wilson is just the history.
Yeah, he's got priors.
History of doing this.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they didn't suspend him.
Why?
They,
that's the problem.
Doesn't make sense.
They play tonight. Rangers Capitals again tonight.
Ooh, by the way, I'll watch.
Both
Evan, I'm going to watch that tonight, Evan.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch that now.
See, that's
I want to see it.
10:50 ESPN Radio. Why don't you listen to it?
10:50 p.m.?
10:50 on
ESPN.
Oh, okay.
What time is it? Here in New York.
Here in New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where you can, if you wanted to listen.
I'll be watching the Lakers or something.
Also on MSG.
Lakers play tomorrow.
Or Dodgers.
Yeah. Anyways,
something it's, LA-centric.
No, it'll be Dodgers.
It'll be part of hockey, and unfortunately, it's when it gets attention. All right, so onto the LeBron James conversation, guys. We did talk to Woj about the injury with LeBron James. He's expected to be out against the Clippers tomorrow, as you mentioned, the Trailblazers Friday, which is an important game. They only have a one-game lead over the Blazers.
You feel like the Trailblazers has always had the Lakers' number to a degree. Dame, too.
Say that again?
I feel like the Trailblazers... always kind of have the Lakers number. Like it goes just Dame and the way they match
and
up.
And no Dennis Schroeder, which is a huge part of this, especially when it comes to Dame. So here's Woj earlier today on our show about LeBron's injury and how they manage it.
He's going to sit out this back-to-back with the Clippers and Portland. And then they've got Phoenix and the Knicks coming up Sunday, Tuesday. He may miss those games too. They've got to get this ankle as close to healthy as they can before the playoffs without bottoming out in the standings right now. They'd prefer, obviously, to stay out of that play-in tournament. That's a lot of the reason why LeBron James came back when he did last week. He saw the losses piling up, wanted to get back and help his team, and you know, re-aggravated that ankle. And it's going to be an issue through the playoffs, the rest of this regular season, into the postseason. He's not going to be able to really get it right until the offseason.
Well, I would think Friday's game is an important one, and he's going to sit out that game, which shows you how badly this ankle might be bothering him.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where, you know, it may be a little bit of a bubble wrap situation, but he's hurting. And no matter what, whether we are the sixth seed or the play-in tournament, we at this point just need to get into the tournament.
Yeah, you don't even care now.
Yeah, it's just like whatever.
He's going to say, it's time. That's all, folks. That's why Anthony Davis came to L.A.
Ooh.
People talk about him being a top five player. I know it's tough without Dennis Schroeder and LeBron James. It's time. All right. It's time, AD.
Well, he did have 25 in a win over Denver. He's got to keep that going, especially against Clippers and Portland coming up the next couple of days. All right. Question, though, speaking of Denver, is Denver on the West Coast? We got to find a map. But we do have an expert that can tell us. That's next. KJZ, on your smart speakers by saying, play ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Well, that's how it sounded in Green Bay. Let's see how it sounds at a place where Aaron Rodgers could end up, maybe in Denver. So we bring in Brandon Stokely, host of Stokely and Zach on 104.3, The Fan in Denver. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Brandon, good morning.
Morning.
What's up, man? How's it living out on the West Coast, Brandon? How you been?
Wait.
We're not quite on the West Coast, Key, over here. The West Coast is more
tell him, Brandon.
And like, you know, Washington and Oregon and all that stuff over there. We're kind of, I don't know how you classify us over here, but you can't classify us as West Coast.
Well, I thought actually, because again, I was going to ask you, I was like, oh, Stokely must live in L.A. because it's such an easy commute to Denver, as Keyshawn said.
Yeah, people travel there every day.
All the time.
Every day. To there, back.
It's easy. It's an hour 45. The airport is way out there, but
yeah,
literally it's about an hour 45 on a flight. Brandon knows it's the West Coast. That's why Aaron Rodgers is targeting the Denver Broncos. What do you think about that, though, Brandon? Aaron Rodgers landing in Denver.
Well, I think, you know, it would be unbelievable. I think when you look at the Broncos roster and you look at the defense that they've put together, the young offensive weapons that they have, when you look at Noah Fant, Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, their second-round pick. I mean, offensive line much improved from a couple years ago to last year. They got some weapons offensively. It's an attractive spot for a veteran quarterback. You drop a piece like Aaron Rodgers into Denver, I think the Broncos become a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, that is true, but you named a bunch of players, right? You got to give up something to get something. What are you giving
up? Well,
that's the
million-dollar question there. Who knows? I mean, hopefully, if you're the Broncos, you give up a lot of draft picks, but which starters would you have to give up? You probably have to give up a young wide receiver. Is that going to be Cortland Sutton? Is that going to be Jerry Jeudy? You probably have to give up one of your defensive starters. Is that your first-round pick, Pat Surtain? Is that Bradley Chubb? So certainly, you're right there, Key. You're going to have to give up something, and that will hurt your roster, but it's worth it. And if you have a chance to get a guy like Aaron Rodgers, it's worth it, because all of a sudden, you know, your perennial playoff team, your Super Bowl contender, he makes everybody around him, you know, he's going to make them better. So it's a no-brainer if you have a chance to get him.
So, Brandon, we're talking about a hypothetical right now as it relates to Aaron Rodgers. Let's come back to what the reality currently is. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about having Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock heading into this season?
Well, it doesn't do much for me. You know, you have Teddy Bridgewater, career high was last year, I believe, 15 touchdowns. I mean, it's not excitement right there. Drew Lock led the league in interceptions, lowest completion percentage in the league. Young quarterback, obviously, probably a higher ceiling than Teddy Bridgewater, but just too many inconsistencies. That's why they went out and got Teddy Bridgewater. So, you know, it's going to be a competition. Usually when you have a quarterback competition, it doesn't end well, and you'll probably be shuffling those guys throughout the course of the season. So, I'm not in love with the quarterback situation. I think they have a lot of talent around the quarterback, but you got to have a quarterback in the NFL if you want to try to compete week in and week out with these upper echelon teams like Kansas City, et cetera, et cetera. If not, if you don't have that quarterback, you know, you might get lucky one week, but over a 17-week season, you know, you're going to kind of show who you really are. And you need a quarterback that can play at a high level. And right now, you know, what the Broncos situation is, they don't have that guy.
Brandon Stokely, former NFL wide receiver, two-time Super Bowl champion, co-host of Stokely and Zach on 104.3, The Fan in Denver. Brandon, why didn't the Broncos take a quarterback at 9 in this year's draft? Is it because they probably, I don't know, you tell me, sitting and waiting on the Aaron Rodgers situation?
Well, I don't think you can wait on Aaron Rodgers. You know, if you loved a quarterback, you had to take one at 9. And you had Justin Fields and you had Mac Jones both available. George Payton, the general manager, said he loved Justin Fields, and he passed on Justin Fields. I don't get it. I don't understand how you pass on a quarterback at that spot, especially when you don't have one that you love. Not sure why they passed on that position. I don't think you can pass on a young quarterback in the draft that you love and just hold out hope and just hope that you can get Aaron Rodgers, or possibly that the Deshaun Watson thing goes away here and he possibly becomes available, you know, in the summer in June or July. I just don't think you can operate like that if you're running the organization. So if you love the guy, you should have taken the guy, especially at the quarterback position, because, I mean, y'all know, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance to really win and to win consistently. But they said they love Justin Fields and they passed on it. So I don't know. I'm not sure why they didn't take either Fields or Mac Jones at 9. It's still kind of confusing to me.
Yeah, until Peyton actually talks about it, all we can do is assume it, right? All we can do is just believe, like, wait, okay, you like this guy, you passed on him. So that kind of tells us that you had something else maybe that you think is waiting in the wings, and so you can always go next year, right? So that's
sure.
It's got to be the thinking is, well, let's get some weapons, let's get some pieces that we need. In fact, they went defense, didn't they, with that pick? So let's get some pieces that we need, and then worry about it if what we are anticipating, maybe what we're hoping can happen, meaning Aaron Rodgers, doesn't. Well, we can always get back in the draft next year and get that quarterback. Do you figure that's the most likely scenario, that they'll just come back next year and get that quarterback?
Yeah, you got to get it figured out. But the Broncos have been doing this for now 3 or 4 years, ever since they drafted Paxton Lynch. They've been putting it on the back burner, and they've been roster building. You know, you can only roster build for so long. You've got to get the quarterback position figured out. You've got to gamble. You've got to take a chance, and, you know, you can't be scared to go for it. And the Broncos have been scared to go for it. And so sooner or later, you got to go. You got to do it. And you can't just sit on the sidelines and hope that and pray that, you know, this great quarterback falls to you, or you get traded, you know, Aaron Rodgers or something like that happens for you. So we'll see what their plan is. If they're not able to get Aaron Rodgers, or if they are able to get Aaron Rodgers, we'll see what their plan is moving forward. But sooner or later, if you don't get one of these guys, you're going to have to get in the draft, and you're going to have to gamble a little bit and go for your guy. You saw the Bears make a big move. I mean, teams do it all the time. It's not easy. It's not cheap. And sometimes it can backfire. But if you don't have a guy, you're going to have to go for a guy sooner or later.
I'm going off the assumption, too, because the 49ers were so forthright about it. Like, hey, we heard he was available. We called. You know, both guys, right? John Lynch said it. Also, Kyle Shanahan, they both said it. Yeah, we called. We checked in. We were told forget about it. So we moved on in our draft. Peyton had to have called, right? Like, I know he's not being as forthright as them, but he had to have called, and maybe he was even told. Because AFC, I'd probably rather, if I'm going to trade him, I want to trade him out of the conference. I don't want to see him at all. So AFC teams would have more of an opportunity, and maybe he was just told, well, we got to wait, you know, maybe sometime in June we'll be able to get to this. And, I mean, I'd be willing to wait for Aaron Rodgers. I don't care what anybody says. If I don't have a quarterback, and I'd have to wait a year anyway if I draft a kid, I can wait till June and see if I can make this happen.
Absolutely. I think you had to have called. I've seen reports where the Packers general manager said only one team called. And, you know, like you said, that team was the 49ers. They have said that they have called. So not sure if the Broncos did or didn't call about Aaron Rodgers. But if they didn't, they should have, certainly. But you're right. Look, if you sit and wait, you know, for a year, and then maybe you hope you get him, maybe that was their plan. I know they love Patrick Surtain, and, you know, they think he's going to be one of those 10-year cornerbacks and lockdown, shutdown cornerbacks. And so, but you got to get it figured out. The Broncos got to get it figured out sooner or later. And we'll see. We'll see how it plays out with Green Bay. Right now they're saying no. But all of a sudden you get to June, July, August, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, and then he starts making life difficult. If Aaron Rodgers wants to make life difficult for Green Bay, he can. Right now he's kind of playing the good guy. But if he wanted to make life difficult for him, he certainly could. And he's being quiet, and I think he's hoping something will happen where he doesn't have to come out and make things difficult for him. But if he wants to, he can make life difficult. And if he does that, I think that's when he forces their hand to possibly trade him.
It'd be amazing if the Broncos become like the retirement home for great quarterbacks that win a Super Bowl and one more Super Bowl, right? Like, that just sort of becomes like, hey, we welcome every old quarterback. Come here, win one more ring with us. We'd be willing to do it. Brandon, thanks for the time. Enjoy your day, Brandon.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate y'all.
All right, you got it. Like, again, I mean, this seems like the most likely place. And I don't care what he says. I'll wait.
Well, yeah. I mean,
saying you can't wait is insane. It's Aaron Rodgers. I'm waiting for Aaron Rodgers.
You, I guess during draft time, though, you sit there and you had a chance to take somebody at 9, unless you got a really good feeling that you're going to be in the mix and they're going to trade him, you wait.
Absolutely. You'd have to wait for Justin Fields anyway, wouldn't you? You'd kind of have to wait, develop him. Wait, that's waiting anyways. What's the difference?
But at least I got him on my roster.
Okay, but I can get somebody next year then who's a young quarterback as well. All right, KJZ, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, yes, caller roulette. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know how it works. Get in line, and we'll get to you after Key has this from Indeed.
Alan Hahn back working for ESPN after being fired as general manager for waiting. Need to hire people fast? Indeed can help you beat the clock with powerful hirings. Tools like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job and Indeed will send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database on the spot. They also have 135 skill tests for things like computer proficiency or customer service talent, so you can find the first and the right candidates faster. Do you know 10 hires are made every minute on Indeed? Just go that way and it will show you when you need people for work. Indeed works for you. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Giuliani, that's who it was.
That's right, it was Rudy.
His name was Rudy, it sounds like.
All right, okay.
That was Rudy G. Rudy G from Queens.
Okay, am I on?
Am I
on? Yeah, if you pull that, you get an X, you're out. Okay, that's how we're doing this here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 as we begin. Call the roulette. Let's spin it. Line one.
Hey, man, my name's Mal calling out of Jersey. So I'm a Nets fan, man. I feel like every game, every opponent feel like they got outplay us defensively. And we never really come with that defensive energy. So now that the playoffs are starting up, I want us to hit that gear, turn out that defensive energy.
I hear you on the defensive energy, just
they
knowing
have
those guys.
Personnel to play defense.
Yeah, but they're also, like, let's be honest about it. They're so gifted offensively. They are going to have to go. They have no other choice but to go to a different gear defensively because their defensive bar is so damn low.
Yeah, and I think
it has to be better.
And I think defensively, like Jay is saying, though, when you out there, they understand, but you're going to use up so much energy trying to stay pace with them on the offensive end, you're going to tire down anyway on your offensive end.
Yeah, yeah. You focus so much on stopping them that you're going to be exhausted trying to get shots yourself. But how about this? As you said, their standard, if you can score 120 a game, all you got to do is hold the opponent to 115.
There you go.
Which, well, 115
you can hold them to 119 and win.
Yeah, well,
technically.
I mean, who?
If we're going to do math, sure. Let's spin it. Captain Literal Man.
You call him Captain Little Man or Literal?
Literal. Oh, literal. Little. Yeah, it was an extra syllable. Literal. Line three.
Carlos Williams from Memphis, Tennessee.
Carlos.
Yo, what up?
What's up, Brave, for the Cowboys on the draft? And Jay, how do you feel and what's your concerns as far as that right ankle, the most important ankle in the NBA today?
He said the grade on the Cowboys? Is that what it was?
I believe he said grade on the Cowboys.
Yeah, A. I give him an A. I think they did a good job. They moved down. They picked up Parsons. They moved down. I mean, they were able to pick up extra picks, and they picked up the kid from Kentucky at the corner spot. So they did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, I would disagree. I think the left ankle is the most important ankle in the NBA. That's what he said, right?
He was talking right, I think.
I think he was referencing right. LeBron, wasn't he?
I know.
Oh, I see.
But being sarcastic. Just,
oh, yeah, it went right. That was womp, womp, womp.
Now, did I miss it or did you?
Well, apparently I missed it last time. I think LeBron's going to be okay. But we talk about greatness all the time. We will get a chance to see how great LeBron is. Playing through injuries, that injury, which is a tough injury to play through, having AD, it's tough. But if they're all back on the court, still, the ball's in their court.
I'm already writing the story. Spin
it. Gotta be great.
Still. Line four.
John from Mount Vernon here. Hello.
John.
Hey, John.
John from Mount Vernon here.
From where?
From Mount Vernon, Washington.
Mount Vernon, Washington.
Gotcha, John.
Yes,
go ahead.
So my question is, who wins the NFC West, and how many of those teams make the playoffs?
Ooh. How many of those teams make the playoffs is a great question. Who wins it?
17 games. Rams could win it, should win
Rams
it.
Rams should win it.
Rams should win it based on the offseason
three
move.
Three teams make the playoffs in the NFC West.
It will be Seattle, San Francisco, and the Rams.
Oh, there you
Arizona
go.
Ain't they.
You are so disrespectful. Stephen A. voice to Arizona.
So you like Arizona because I didn't Cliff say that. Kingsbury showed you his house on the draft and you fell in love?
Pretty fancy
like
house.
Everybody else?
It was a nice house.
If I showed you, if I showed them your house on the draft.
You don't got to put my stuff
no,
out there.
No, I'm just
there.
Saying.
You
if I showed them your house
put my
on the
money
draft,
in the streets.
You would be sitting there. You sit there with your kids on the draft. People would be like, damn, Jay Will. Go Jay Will. I need that. Same thing.
That's a good point.
Come on now.
You know you could sit somewhere in your house and look just as fly as Cliff.
Get him, Red Sea.
Like, you know you
get
could.
Get him, Red Sea.
You know you could. Let's spin it.
I like the air raid.
Oh, he looks like Ryan Gosling.
For me, I like the air raid system.
Line six.
Ryan Gosling.
Hey, this is Ron from Maryland. How y'all? Hey, I got a question for Keith.
Ron
Dixon? Do you think the Ravens are really going to make Rashad Bateman the focus of the offense?
Absolutely, 100%. In the passing game, because you got T. Martin and Keith Williams there coaching up the receivers now. Nothing taken away from Coach Cully or Bobby Engram, but these are technicians, and they know what the hell they doing at the receiver spot. Plus, Hollywood Brown could just be Hollywood Brown, lift the coverage. He could come underneath, and then whatever Mills I think it is that they have and whatever the other players that they're going to surround them with from an offensive standpoint, yeah, for sure.
If they can get Julio Jones, too.
Oh, and if they can somehow,
come on.
If they can somehow figure out how to fleece Julio Jones away from Atlanta.
Which the belief is, right, after June 1st,
yes.
He becomes on the market. Greg Roman, the OC in Baltimore, he said this in an interview on their website. I don't want to call it an embarrassment of riches, but when you talk about Hollywood and Devin and Miles, I feel good about the guys we have. He said the offense really – this offense really one that runs through Lamar. We're always going to do what gives us the best chance to win. When you add talent like that, it's really going to expand our profile quite a bit to play with the kind of balance that we really want to play
okay,
with.
Okay, Lamar Greg Jackson, let's throw outside the numbers. It's time.
Excited about the weapons.
And he's getting ready to get that check,
it's
too.
Time. He got your money.
No, he ain't got it yet. He get ready.
He get ready to. He's about to. Throw outside the numbers.
Let's go ahead and spin it.
Here over to my left.
Line three.
Hear the hills.
Hey, guys.
What up?
This is Willie from Dallas.
What's up, Big Will?
Hey, this is for Key, man. Key, I'm going to say TMJ going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, Terrence Marshall Jr.
Who's TMJ?
TMJ. Say it again.
Terrence Marshall Jr.
Oh, yeah. From LSU. I mean,
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
He's got to get healthy first. He's been banged up in and out of the lineup a little bit at LSU. He's got some issues. That's why he slid a little bit in the draft. But he's got to get healthy.
Okay.
Spin I like it.
Can we get one more?
Big Willie.
Line Texas. Five.
Darren, Brooklyn. What are the percentages that Kellen Mond takes Kirk Cousins' job this year?
Oh, my God.
And next year, will he be the starter moving forward?
No, too much money tied into him this year.
Next year, though.
Yeah.
I think next year.
He's saying if he takes the job from him this year.
This year, next year.
See the starter next year.
I like that take.
Yeah, that's an interesting take for sure. Hey, Gronk is on Greeny at 11:30. That's coming up. Everybody have a great day.
Damn.
Thanks for watching and listening.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.